Welcome back to the American Academy of Psychiatry and the Law Landmark Forensic Cases podcast. Today, we'll be discussing Wilson v. U.S., which was decided in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals in 1968. The question before the court today was, does permanent retrograde amnesia render a defendant incompetent to stand trial? The facts. Mr. Fells was robbed at gunpoint by two men, who also stole his car. These two men later stole $400 in cash and three bottles of a drug, Desputol, from a pharmacy. A pharmacy employee identified Mr. Wilson as one of the perpetrators. The police ended up engaging in a high-speed chase with the other two men, who ended up crashing into a tree. One man was found dead and the other unconscious. This person was identified as Mr. Wilson. Money, a gun, a bottle of Desputol, and a stocking mask were found as well. Mr. Wilson fractured his skull in the accident and was unconscious for 3 weeks. As a result of the crash and subsequent injury, he suffered from partial paralysis, a slight speech defect, and memory loss. In particular, he lost memory from 2 hours prior to the robbery to 3 weeks after it. Mr. Wilson was then committed to St. Elizabeth's Hospital in February 1965 for a mental examination and was found to be of, quote, sound mental health. However, they reported that his amnesia rendered him incompetent to stand trial. He was adjudicated incompetent to stand trial and later reevaluated in August 1966. At the competency hearing, Dr. Economon testified that Mr. Wilson had permanent retrograde amnesia and would not be able to aid in his defense as he did not remember the acts, but that he did have a rational understanding of the charges against him and no mental disorder. Judge McGuire adjudicated Mr. Wilson competent to stand trial and stated that in a case where, quote, recollection was present during the time of the offense and where the defendant has the ability to construct knowledge from other sources and has the present ability to follow court proceedings against him and to discuss them rationally with his attorney does not constitute incompetency per se, and a loss of memory should bar prosecution only when its presence would be crucial to the construction and presentation of a defense. In this case in particular, they looked to see if there was enough information regarding the events and if the defendant's memory was necessary to construct or present a defense. Ultimately, Mr. Wilson was adjudicated competent and was convicted of 5 counts of assault with a pistol and robbery. Mr. Wilson appealed, claiming that his constitutional rights, including the Sixth Amendment right to effective assistance of counsel and the 14th Amendment right to due process, were violated when he was found competent to stand trial despite having retrograde amnesia. The holding. The appellate court held that when faced with such a situation, the trial court may allow the case to go to trial and, at its conclusion, determine whether, despite the amnesia, the defendant was nonetheless fairly tried. The appellate court cited 6 factors to consider. 1. The extent to which the amnesia affects the defendant's ability to consult with and assist his lawyer. 2. The extent to which the amnesia affects the defendant's ability to testify on his own behalf. 3. The extent to which the outside evidence could be reconstructed in view of the defendant's amnesia. 4. The extent to which the government assisted the defendant and his counsel in that reconstruction. 5. The strength of the prosecution's case, whether the government's case was such that as to negate all reasonable hypotheses of innocence. In other words, is there any substantial possibility that the accused could, but for his amnesia, establish an alibi or other defense? It should be presumed that he would have been able to do so. And 6, any other facts and circumstances which would indicate whether or not the defendant had a fair trial. After considering these factors, the court would then make a judgment whether, under applicable principles of due process, the conviction should stand. A concurring opinion by Judge Lieventhal of the appellate court compared amnesia to intoxication and subsequent loss of recollection of a crime. A dissenting opinion by Judge Fahey stated that trying a defendant for crimes that he has been completely and permanently deprived of all knowledge of is to try him for something about which he is, quote, mentally absent altogether. He compares this to trying a defendant without his physical presence at the time of a trial. He cited Hansford v. U.S., which held that memory is an essential element of competency. Judge Fahey agreed with the defendant's claim of violation of due process and effective assistance of counsel. Judge Fahey also argued that this was not comparable to intoxication with alcohol because the amnesia was not voluntary in Mr. Wilson's case. An implication of the amnesia rendering an individual incompetent to stand trial is that the individual could not be held involuntarily in a psychiatric hospital. As such, if they are both incompetent to stand trial and cannot be held involuntary in the hospital, they would be released to the community. In addition, an individual could easily feign amnesia for an event. In summary, Wilson v. U.S., which was decided in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals in 1968, held that permanent retrograde amnesia does not necessarily render a defendant incompetent to stand trial. Rather, various factors should be considered, and they outlined six criteria. 1. The extent to which the amnesia affects the defendant's ability to consult with and assist his lawyer. 2. The extent to which the amnesia affects the defendant's ability to testify on his own behalf. 3. The extent to which the outside evidence could be reconstructed in view of the defendant's amnesia. 4. The extent to which the government assisted the defendant and his counsel in that reconstruction. 5. The strength of the prosecution's case, whether the government's case was such that as to negate all reasonable hypotheses of innocence. In other words, is there any substantial possibility that the accused could, but for his amnesia, establish an alibi or any other defense, it should be presumed that he would have been able to do so. And 6. Any other facts and circumstances which would indicate whether or not the defendant had a fair trial. After considering these factors, the court would then make a judgment whether, under applicable principles of due process, the conviction should stand.